Seated. On this first Sunday in the season of Lent, we are beginning a series on just virtues, just as in what accords with justice. Because Lent isn't just about purging ourselves, it's about cultivating. We purge our lives from sin through turning to God, and in that same turning, we cultivate virtue. And it's all in the power of Christ. So this evening, what I want to talk about is the virtue of compassion. More specifically, just compassion. Just compassion. You know, it's easy to assume that compassion is a virtue that our culture already has a grasp on. Because when tragedy strikes, sympathy goes out all over the internet. We see hashtags, bring back our girls, or Paris attacks. And all of this is designed to elicit our compassion. That is, it's designed to move us all to sympathy for the injustices that others suffer. But here's the danger in this. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes, hashtags, blog posts, and memes don't engender just compassion, but just a show of compassion in two senses. First, in that we speak about compassion, but we don't do anything. And second, a show in this sense. We're not only just going to be compassionate, but we're going to show you just how compassionate we are. And both of these shows, the Bible labels the same way: hypocrisy. Compassion for the sake of an audience. And as Jesus says in our passage, hypocrisy can't hide for very long. The truth will out. And in contrast to this hypocritical compassion, the scripture promotes a just compassion. But what is a just compassion? That's what we're going to look at first. And second, we'll look at how easy it is to miss it. And then third, we'll look at how we are to practice it. Just compassion. What is it? How it's so easy to miss it. And how it is that we practice it. How it is that we embody it. So first, what is just compassion? To answer this question, we're going to use the Pharisees as a backdrop. Now, who were the Pharisees? They get picked on a lot, you know. We all sort of know they're the bad guys in some sense. Well, they weren't priests. They weren't religious officials. They were a lay movement. And they were aimed at faithfulness to the law of God, which should have resulted in a love for God and a love for neighbor, out of which should flow a just compassion. It sounds really great, right? Well, according to Jesus, the Pharisees did not embody a just compassion. Instead, they were showy, stingy, destructive, and deadly. First, they were showy. We see this in verse 43, where they love to be seen in the best seats. They love to be seen in the right company. But especially we see it in verse 38. Jesus, you mean you don't engage in our traditional washings before you eat? You mean you don't march out your devotional bona fides to show everyone? Hashtag ritual washings. But verse 39, Jesus says to them, you Pharisees love to put on a show, but your heart says something else. The Pharisees' hearts showed that they were stingy. Stingy. This is what Jesus is getting at when he says they're full of greed in verse 39. And he exhorts them to give alms in verse 41. Because in the Bible, greed isn't just grasping for something that you don't have. It's not just grasping for more. It's failing to give what you do have to your neighbor in need. Because what you have that your neighbor needs, it doesn't belong to you. It actually belongs to your neighbor. This is what Proverbs 3:27 is getting at that Nancy read earlier. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to give it. Now, a better way to translate to whom it is due would be from the one who owns it. from the one who owns it. Your needy neighbor has a claim to what you have. And just compassion isn't stingy. It gives. It gives generously. Also, the Pharisees were destructive. Showy, stingy, and destructive. Jesus brings this out in verse 42 when he says that they neglect justice. In the Bible, justice, in the simplest sense, is restoring what is broken to wholeness. Restoring what is broken to wholeness, especially when it comes to the most vulnerable among us, like the widow, the orphan, the immigrant, the poor. Groups of the Pharisees are elsewhere specifically chastised for neglecting. But how does neglecting justice make the Pharisees destructive? Well, in the same way that, biblically speaking, being stingy makes you greedy. When you're not actively pursuing justice, actively restoring the vulnerable to wholeness, you're actually contributing to their destruction. And in this neglect of justice, this destruction, the Pharisees fell short of a just compassion. A just compassion which doesn't destroy, but restores. Showy, stingy, destructive, and finally, deadly. And this comes out in verse 44. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it. You see, in God's old covenant law, to come in contact with the dead was to have the contamination of death adhere to you until later on you could ritually wash away that contamination. And so unmarked graves looked like ordinary ground, but they would still ritually contaminate you with the power of death and render you in need of ritual cleansing. And the Pharisees were just like these unmarked tombs. They looked harmless, but their stinginess, their destructiveness, it brought life to no one. It brought death to everyone they came in contact with. But just compassion doesn't bring death. Just compassion brings life. When we were living in Slovakia, one of our missionary colleagues, Marty, she went on a hike with a Slovak friend. And after hours of hiking, she got really thirsty. And so there was this stream in the woods. You guys might guess where this story is going. By all appearances, the stream looked pure. But when Marty drank the water, it didn't give to her what water is supposed to give. That restoration to wholeness. That return to life again. Instead, it actually made her deathly ill for days, for weeks. That water at its heart was contaminated. And in the same way, our compassion can be like that water. It may look like pure compassion, but it's just a show. In reality, it's contaminated at the heart, withholding what our neighbor needs and contributing nothing to his wholeness or his life. Showy, stingy, destructive, and deadly. This was the hypocritical compassion of the Pharisees. And so against this, what is just compassion then? It's compassion from the heart that gives generously and isn't stingy, that restores and it doesn't destroy, and that brings life, not death, and all without putting on a show. Now, you may be feeling somewhat guilty right now. Is my compassion sometimes just talk? Is it done primarily just for my self-promotion, my appearance? Do I see my neighbor in need and just pass by? Do I know of brokenness and lift no finger to rectify it? Do I withhold life from the hurting? And the answer to all of these questions is yes. Yes, we all do. And Lent is a time when we are called to face with honesty this reality about how our compassion falls short of just compassion. And we cry out to the Lord for forgiveness and for change. Because Jesus didn't point out these realities just to leave the Pharisees or to leave us in shame, but to invite us into something higher, to invite us into a godlike compassion that we were designed for in God's image, to give generously, to restore what is broken in the world, to spread life, and all without a self-absorbed show. So if we want to embody this just compassion, just like our Maker, it's to our Maker that we must go. But even so, this message of just compassion is so easy to miss. It's so easy to miss. Which brings us to our second point, just how easy it is to miss God's just compassion. And to see this time we're going to use the lawyers as a backdrop. Now, the lawyers were a special class of men who professed to be experts in God's law, but we're going to see that they were actually anything but. But first, I want you to notice the transition. And when I read it, you guys kind of giggled a little bit. It was kind of funny. Jesus has been laying into the Pharisees. And then verse 45, one of the lawyers answers him, "Teacher, in saying these things, you insult us also." And then Jesus said, "Woe to you lawyers also." Kind of like that. It reminds me of that scene from A Christmas Story. You know the movie where Ralphie, he wants the Red Ryder BB gun. It's set in the 40s. Well, the main character, Ralphie, he is wailing on the bully, Scott Farkas. And, you know, this bully's always lying in wait to get at Ralphie and his friends. But finally, Ralphie's had enough, and he is just wailing on Scott Farkas. And then Scott Farkas' little crony, Grover Dill, he runs up. He's like, "Hey, that's my friend. What are you doing?" And then Ralphie says, "Oh, you want some too?" And he pushes him down. And so the lawyers are like that. They run up and say, "Hey, the Pharisees are our friend." And Jesus is like, "Hey, if you want some too, here it is." And he attacks. Now, we're not going to spend as much time on this point, but I want us to see that it's easy to miss God's heart. It's easy to miss God's heart of just compassion. Because the lawyers missed God's heart too, as he had revealed it in the law and the prophets. So first, they missed the heart of God's law, which was love for God and love for neighbor. And all of that engenders a just compassion. Instead, they got lost in their own burdensome additions to the law, additions that were nowhere actually a part of God's law, these things they added to it, how far you could walk on the Sabbath, how much contact you could have with Gentiles. And so they missed God's heart in the law, and they missed God's heart in the prophets, too. Surely they could quote the prophets. I'm sure they could quote the prophets. They could adorn the prophets' tombs. Jesus talks about this in verse 47. But the devotion that they should have shown was not to miss the heart of the prophet's call, a call to a just compassion. In short, verse 52, even though the lawyers had the law and the prophets, even though they had the scriptures, they missed God's heart in the law and the prophets. They didn't truly know him, and thereby they kept their neighbors from knowing him. And in missing God's heart, they missed the just compassion that flows out from God's heart. In our last year in St. Louis, I taught English as a second language at St. Louis University, and I was a very compassionate teacher. I laid out all of my requirements for my students in an easy-to-read, very compassionately crafted, beautifully worded syllabus. But alas, many were the times when my students missed entirely what my syllabus called for, doing instead work I had never asked for, or more often, trying to twist my syllabus and dodge what it so eloquently stated. And even when I would send out my prophets, those students who actually understood my message, to pass along that message to their fellow students, my compassion was so often missed. And so my students didn't enter into the fullness of what I, the compassionate teacher, had for them. And in that same way, we can't miss the heart of what God has so clearly called us to in his word, just compassion. We may be able to tell what his word says, but do we do what he says? Knowing what is true is hugely important. And I'd wager that the Pharisees and the lawyers, they knew what was true. They knew what was true in ways that you and I probably don't. But doing what is true is equally important. And that's where the Pharisees and the lawyers fell short. And maybe that's where we fall short. As much as God wants us to believe rightly about him, he wants us to do rightly from him. And so in our knowledge of God, if we're missing his heart, we're going to miss his call to just compassion. But here's the thing. Just compassion is not something that you can just gin up. It's not something you can just muster. You can't muster up generous giving, restorative justice, life-giving action toward your neighbor. You can't muster that up out of guilt. You can't muster that up out of your own strength. Neither condemnation nor self-reliance empower. And so how do we genuinely embody a just compassion? And that brings us to the last point. We've seen what just compassion is, how easy it is to miss it from God's word. And now, how do we put it into practice? When I was in eighth grade, a childhood friend of mine moved away, and we lost touch. But several years later, I started hearing things about him. I started hearing actually terrible news about him. First, it was news about drugs and parties. And then I heard the worst, that his life was completely spiraling out of control because he was addicted to heroin. But somebody had compassion on my friend and reached into his life. And so today, many years later, he works for a Christian ministry that ministers to drug addicts. And so my friend, he was the recipient of compassion. And now he is the purveyor of compassion. And what I want us to see is this, that we ourselves cannot adequately show just compassion until we realize just how much we have been the recipients of just compassion. And this is where Jesus comes in. Jesus embodied just compassion. He didn't come with a grand show. In fact, he very frequently, always actually, refused to call attention to himself. He wasn't stingy with his infinite resources. He gave generously. In the face of injustice, he mended the ruptures that had occurred in people's relationships, the fabrics of their lives. In the presence of death, what he touched, he brought life to it. And his was a just compassion. And this just compassion was for you and for me. Because you and I were just like my addict friend. We were crushed under the weight of our own selfishness, our hypocrisies, wounded from destroyed relationships with our friends, with our family, with God, dead in our stinginess and our injustices. But Jesus gave nothing short of his all. He gave his life for our death to restore us to God, to free us from the weight of a profound poverty. And then he shared his life with us in his resurrection so that the just compassion he showed us might flow from him through us to the world, to others. But if you refuse this just compassion that he has shown you, if you live your life fearing for your own image, trapped in the show, you have God's judgment to fear. And that's what Jesus is getting at in 12, 4, and 5. But his plea to you is, fear not. Fear not, verse 7. He's inviting you into compassion. And God's just compassion for you in Christ is so infinite. The very hairs of your head are numbered, and you are of greater value than all the birds of the heaven, all of creation. So how do we practice a just compassion? By first being the recipients of God's just compassion in Christ. Anything else that falls short of that, it falls short of just compassion. We need Christ. We need him. And this Lent, as those who have received God's just compassion in Christ, we're called to return to him again and again to receive his just compassion anew so that it will flow out from us, or through us, rather, to others. You know, the needy, all around us, they're at the doorstep. Those who have suffered injustice are sitting right here. They're sitting right beside you. And the dead, they're everywhere, and they're clamoring for life in Christ. And so you may feel a little overwhelmed. Where do I start? Where do I start? You start with where you are. You pray to God for an opportunity. God, make me a purveyor of just compassion. And see what he does. Just compassion. It gives generously. It restores. It gives life without a show. It's so easy to miss it, but it's embodied so clearly in Jesus. He showed that just compassion to you. So my prayer for all of us is that God would grant us to not just receive his just compassion, but to embody it for the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.